We're honored to have back on the show Commander Salamander, who is in demand, and I really appreciate him spending some time with us. Thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, Todd, thank you very much for the invitation. Always enjoy the conversation.
Yes, so do I. Well, the big elephant in the room, if you will, is the blockade. So I have some questions as not a naval guy. Do we have the force structure to do what Trump has asked from a naval standpoint?
We'll start off with that. We're unlucky and lucky in two ways. We're unlucky into the fact that even though we are the world's second largest Navy, people still don't know that the People's Republic of China actually had, they lapped us a few years ago. They're a larger mm-hmm. Navy than we are. Though they say stay closer to home than we do. Mm-hmm. Even though we are the world's second largest Navy, and I still agree we are the most capable Navy, mm-hmm. simply because of how we operate and the amount of experience we have. We do not have a large enough force structure. Mm-hmm. And the events since the October 7th invasion of Israel from Gaza and all the follow-on conflicts with the Iranian proxies and against Iran itself has come up. Our surface fleet and our carrier fleet, which has always been forward deployed, has really, a lot has been asked of it. And everybody should be really proud of the work they've done. Mm-hmm. Decades of hard work and making the right decisions has been helpful, However, ships are mechanical things. They require maintenance. They require upgrades. They require replacements. Parts wear out. And people are the same way. And our ships are undermanned. And so you have the human element of you short cycle to what you think is going to be a 6-month deployment that becomes an 8, 9, or 11 month deployment. That has lots of repercussions when it comes to retention, performance, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And you also have ships that are designed to have regular service. And you have machinery that is designed to be used for X number of hours before parts wear out and they need replacement, they need service. You know, think of when you buy a car. Mm-hmm. And let's say you're similar to I am. Is that, you know, one thing my dad always taught me, you take care of your car, it takes care of you. So some people tell me I'm stupid, but that's okay. But I always do, and my military background reinforces, I do my regularly scheduled maintenance with my privately owned third generation local dealership. Mm-hmm. And you do that now, and it takes care of you later. I'm a firm believer in that. Mm-hmm. And let's say I had a certain budget. And my budget assumed that every year I'm going to put 15,000 miles on my truck. Mm-hmm. And because of life, I'm actually putting 25,000 on it. I have one of two options there. I either increase my budget to get additional service and, mm-hmm. And be prepared for parts breaking and wearing out faster, or I hope for the best and pretend that I'm not going from 15K to 25K.
Right.
That's where we get in trouble. If people remember, and if they aren't, I encourage people to look up, just Google 2017 Fitzgerald McCain enter, and you'll catch up on the events that happened the summer of 2017. You can do that for a while, but then eventually it catches up. And that doesn't even begin to approach the consumables, because are the fighting a war like we did, dodging waves of drones and missiles and cruise missiles is one thing. A blockade is another. A blockade is whereas a war against waves of air attacks is a sprint, a blockade is a marathon. Mm-hmm. So that takes ships, and that also takes people to be able to rotate in them. And unfortunately, we have an unbalanced fleet. Instead of a high-low mix, we just have a high mix. We have Arleigh Burke-class destroyers doing a mission that would be better done by a frigate, but for mm-hmm. a whole host of reasons, we don't have frigates, mm-hmm. mostly due to our own institutional and programmatic failure. So can we do it? Yes, but there's going to be a cost, and it would be best for everybody if this was resolved sooner more than later. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, what this is, to quote President Lincoln, one war at a time. This is the war we have right now.
Right.
But the real war that we need to be prepared for is the war in the Pacific, mm-hmm. west of the international dateline against the People's Republic of China. And in order to be ready for that, and I'm going to channel my inner Bridge Colby here, we need to make sure that our ships, our inventory, and our sailors are ready for that, because it might come in 6 weeks, it might come in 6 years, it might come never.
Yeah.
And what happened in Iran, I think people of goodwill can argue plus or minus, but it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to recognize how that's impacted two things. One is a money and industry problem that is increasing production of everything from the brand new Dark Cloud, Dark Bird, something. Anyway, the Army's hypersonic long-range cruise missiles that's still in the final stages. They want to forward deploy the handful that we have to SM-3s, Patriot missiles, the whole shooting match of things that we've expended. That's one battle. The other battle we have is a thing that's kind of like car maintenance. We should have brought in our F-150 to get its 100,000-mile service at 100,000 miles. Mm-hmm. We're at 120,000 miles. We still haven't changed the oil. We still haven't rotated the tires. Nobody's checked the transmission fluid. Nobody's checked the belts. It's just been holding together. And that works until it doesn't. And we need to get our fleet back, and we need to reset our sailors and reset our ships such that they're at the state of readiness they need. Should we have indications and warning that some interesting data out there that the People's Republic, they're not collapsing, but they're contracting. Mm-hmm. That as
you mean China, economically, right?
Economically, demographically, et cetera.
Yes.
If they take the red, for those that have an operational planning background, different courses of actions, you war game very different things. Red, most dangerous course of action. If the People's Republic of China selects the red, most dangerous course of action, vice the most likely course of action, then we've got a challenge.
Yeah. There was a report that, and I don't know the name of the ship, and maybe this wasn't true, but that an Arleigh Burke destroyer caught fire today and was out of service for a while. Did you see that?
I saw that. I didn't get much detail. I will say this.
Uh-huh.
There are fires on ships all the time.
Yeah.
Yet you do drills constantly. Mm-hmm. Fire, general quarters. A common phrase in the service warfare community, and it's always said best by Brian McGrath, who's a former skipper of an Arleigh Burke destroyer. You practice until you reach perfection, then you practice perfection. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you do that, one is, you never know when you're going to have a cruise missile come across the horizon or you're going to bump into a mine. Mm-hmm. But the more likely thing is you don't know when you're going to have a laundry fire, when you're going to have an electrical fire. When Seaman Timmy was supposed to do his preventive maintenance on a valve or a filter, and he's grumpy and he decided that he was just going to gun deck it and not do it. Mm-hmm. And so that valve bursts or that filter catches fire. And all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you open your eyes and from the bulkhead to the deck, it's half full of smoke. These things happen. So it's not unusual.
Yeah. Is the blockade working, in your opinion?
It depends upon what your measures of effectiveness are.
Well, I mean, logistically, are we stopping ships from, I'm not saying in a geopolitical sense,
but sure,
are we shutting down the strait?
From what I've seen in open source, yes. I have looked at people who have said that the blockade is not working, mm-hmm. or it's a failure. But when I read what they're saying, they don't have any facts to back it up. It's just opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They might be right, but you need some data to back that up. I think ultimately we'll find that out, probably in congressional hearings when all this is said and done. However, there was a movie made years ago about the Cuban Missile Crisis. I linked the video a while ago, and it's got McNamara in the Navy CIC somewhere, all nominal. And the admiral yells back at him when he objects to them firing star shells over a Soviet freighter. That, you know, we've been doing blockade since John Paul Jones. And McNamara got all upset with that. But that's true. Mm-hmm. One of the, and I wrote this a while ago, and it's true. Since before the dawn of time, our ancestors were in a canoe. They took to the other side of the lake to go pick figs off of a tree. And they were rowing their canoe, and it got halfway across the lake. And then the other tribe rowed out to meet them and said, "No, you're not taking the figs off of our tree. This is our tree. Get your happy ass over to your side of the lake." That was a blockade. Humans have been doing blockades from sea since the dawn of time. So we know how to do this. Depending upon your admiralty lawyer and how you wordsmith it and sea lawyer it, a blockade is an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, so is dropping bombs on most of your civilian and military leadership. Yeah. So, and the scale of things, I think that that ship has already sailed, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, and that we don't have more people helping us with this.
Yeah.
But that's not unexpected, and we've been there before.
So what about the mines in the Strait? Is that an issue? Or are we able to clear it? I know that the four minesweepers we had that were off station are, my understanding is they're back in the theater. What's going on with that?
Well, I haven't seen the videos and pictures of ships with big holes in their sides.
Mm-hmm.
Reading between the lines, I think the Iranians may have had a chance to dump a few mines out somehow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to drop a mine or two. The LCS with the mine warfare module, this is their opportunity to prove the skeptics wrong. If there are mines there, they can find them.
Mm-hmm.
There are ships that are traversing the Gulf. I mean, the Straits of Hormuz. And that's a sign. But again, it's all insurance. It's odds. It's the cost. Mm-hmm. It's the risk. Mm-hmm. I think what will be interesting is we're at a point right now, and the truth might change while we're talking. But the negotiations are coming and going as we wait and see. And one of the sticks they're holding up is we haven't struck them in a while. And what happens when you take a operational pause? Nobody's used that term, but I like to use it. I think it's accurate.
Every day, your data is being tracked, collected, and sold, often without you even realizing it. Big tech companies control your devices, your apps, and the information you share. From your messages to your browsing habits, everything is being monitored and stored. Over time, we've traded privacy for convenience, and most people don't even question it. But what if you could take that control back? That's where Mark 37 comes in. Mark 37 provides privacy-focused phones, laptops, and tablets designed to give you full control over your digital life. With secure systems, expert support, and simple tools, they make it easier to step away from constant tracking and data collection. Because privacy isn't just a feature, it's a fundamental choice. It's about protecting your data, your freedom, and your future. Take back control of your digital life with Mark 37.
Divorce is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management, it's your money and your future.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you can do, and this is your intelligence officer, your intel shop, your J2, your N2, whatever you want to call it. They get to look at, before the conflict started, they had their primary, secondary, tertiary target list, and you refine it constantly. Mm-hmm. We've hit this, knocked that off this list. We got 80% of this. You know, we haven't gotten this yet. And then as intel comes in and as your opponent responds to your actions and moves things around, creates other challenges, you build another list. And when you have a ceasefire, that quote other list, hopefully your intel shop is growing that list. And while that list is growing, you're resting, rearming, repairing your strike assets, mm-hmm. which in this case will have to mostly be air assets, because one of my hobby horses, if you'll give me a second, Todd, to pull it out of the barn here.
Yeah.
We don't have the ability to reload our VLS cells forward anyway. So we have to have new ships come in with CONUS or other locations, filled up VLS cells. So anyway, your aircraft, that's one thing that I'm guessing here, and this is nothing anybody, other people have made this guess. You've seen a lot of C-17 traffic going across the pond recently. That's bringing new weapons in. So we're bringing our weapons and our stockpiled for our four deployed assets. Mm-hmm. And then if Iran doesn't want to play, we're going to go to the targeting shop, and they're going to be excited as little puppies at breakfast time. They've got their list, and we're going to go swat what's on the list, and we're going to start knocking things off again. And Iran should know that.
Sure.
Israel has their own list too, but I don't know what Israel's going to do. They're kind of occupied in southern Lebanon right now.
The buys we're making, let's shift a little bit to, well, sure. Actually, I had one more question in the theater. There was a tape that came out, and I don't know if it's real. I have some of my Delta guys trying to find out that part of this whole shoot down exercise and why it took so long was that they inserted some soft teams to destroy a Chinese shoulder-fired, heat-seeking missile cell, anti-aircraft cell that had smuggled weapons in, and that may have been what they caught on some of these ships that they boarded coming into the theater. Do you know it? Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but that would make sense to me. Mm-hmm. There is. And you know this, and we don't talk about specifics, and a lot of your listeners know what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. Whether you're talking about operations or capabilities or systems, there is a hidden world out there that we just don't see. And sometimes you see a little ankle or you see a little shimmer and you go, hey, I think that might be, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
So there are things that happen and things that we find out, things that we discover. And the Lord's work that organizations like Palantir is doing, they're able to create 10 of X, where before we could only do 0.5 of X. Mm-hmm. So we're discovering a whole bunch of possibilities out there. And I think that should be expected. You know, we'll read about it in 20 years if the good Lord lets us stay on the earth that long. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair guess. And people should have confidence that I get the impression this administration, and for somebody on active duty, had a backpack full of a lot of ROE that bound what we were doing in very frustrating ways that resulted in a lot of my countrymen and allied forces mm-hmm. get killed and maimed. This administration seems to be pretty open with their ROE mm-hmm. and is willing to take risk, mm-hmm. the type of risk that can make things politically uncomfortable. And you might lose four or five people, but when you play the game four or five pieces down the board, you can save hundreds to thousands, or if you stop somebody from getting a nuke, millions of people's lives.
Yeah,
so that encourages me that we are doing things similar to what you said, and that we have America's finest in small groups with poorly kept hair and beards doing things our children will read about that we'll all be proud about.
Yes, I'm trying to confirm some of that, but it seemed reasonable to me.
I agree.
But I think the Chinese are definitely, and the Russians, by the way, are definitely spying them in different ways. But
it is in their interest. And I'll put on my little fur hat, my little mm-hmm. Russian hat. Mm-hmm. Were I a Russian as much as I could do that had the minimum risk of it blowing back on me, mm-hmm. I would do what I can do to embarrass and bleed the Americans white, because that's sure. what they've done to me in Ukraine.
Well, I was going to say, we're doing it to them today. So
yep. And the Chinese, they're interested in keeping us busy, keeping us distracted, and seeing how our systems perform, to see how their system performs. We've done a lot of unscheduled range time for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of a sidebar, and I've got, yep. I'm just guessing here. But a lot of these Chinese generals and admirals that have been invited to retire or disappear early the last few years, I think there's a connection to that, where when you look at how the Chinese equipment performed in Venezuela, you see how it performed in China, that if Chairman Xi is ruthless as I think he is, and the people in his inner circle are, they're going to go, show me those reports where you told me this was effective. Who signed off on that? Who approved that? Oh, General Hu. That's very nice. I have a job for you in Western Zhejiang that you need mm-hmm. to take care of near Camel Farm. Have a good day.
Yeah.
I think that's the Chinese are getting value out of this as well, because they're going to find out what works, what doesn't, and who inside their chain of command is bullshitting their civilian leadership about their capabilities.
Interesting. So last question, we're doing a lot of buying. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the budget requests, the amount of ships, you know, where are we in that whole game to rearm essentially in naval wise?
Yep. You look at, and I did a post on this on the 22nd of April, if anybody looks it up, where we got funds coming in. You know, the president proposes, the Congress disposes. So this mm-hmm. is what the president is offering forward. Congress will do something else to it for fiscal year 27, which starts the 1st of October of this year. And it's a big chunk of change. And the 18 battle force ships and 16 auxiliary ships, things that caught my mind is, you know, we talked earlier about how we just don't have any frigates.
Mm-hmm.
And that we could probably spend a whole day talking about the history of that. That's something that should have every taxpayer and their elected representatives beat red, angry, and phone flicked. Mm-hmm. But we have FFX, which is going to be a gray hold, which means a Navy version of the Coast Guard's Legend class cutters. It's a cutter. It's not a frigate, but they have Flight 2, which will have what you would think a Navy ship would have. That's okay. It could do a lot of the operations we're seeing right now, mm-hmm. but you don't see any funding on that. You have one in fiscal year 27, another one in fiscal year 29. They're not going to show up till the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
That is disappointing. Another thing that's disappointing for me is when you go from FY 25 to FY 31, 6 years, only one aircraft carrier,
mm-hmm.
which that tells me in the, in President Trump's budget shop, you don't have your advocates for the carrier force.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great people, good people, smart people doing hard work. I trust these people to babysit my kids, but I have a disagreement with them in that regard. Everybody wants to talk about the battleship. We finally have some funding in FY 28 for the battleship, and one in 28, one in 30 and 31. So we actually have more money for battleships than we do almost anything else. And there are some things that are good. And there was a ship when it first came out at the early part, first decade, I was very critical of the San Antonio class LPDs,
mm-hmm.
amphibious ship. They had titanium fire mains. They had this fancy mast that really didn't work. But they fixed that with Flight 2 and on, and they've managed to fix that class. It's still expensive, but it's got a lot of versatility. And we're building, except for 26, we're building at least one a year out of that, which is nice. It's good to have. We're doing 3211111122 with Arleigh Burke Class Destroyers, which is really the only game in town. And I think people can argue a spot here, a spot there, but I think it's a pretty good plan. We have some fire boats finally. One of a huge disgrace to our Navy was the Bornholm Richard.
Yeah.
Had just come out of, it was still in the yards, it was almost done. And we still don't know how that fire started. They tried to, and again, some people have done good research on this in the press, but it hasn't broken a lot of the background. I think it's important that it does. People need to understand that going back to the Iowa turret explosion many moons ago, there's a problem where the Navy justice system looks for scapegoats, and they try to scapegoat a sailor who is ultimately found innocent. But we lost that multi-billion dollar unique capability ship.
Yeah.
But we're building more of them. And part of the problem was the accountants and the people that do the odds say, we don't need fireboats. We don't need fireboats. It's kind of like insurance for your car. You don't need it till you need it, or medical.
Well, I was a helicopter pilot in the Air Force for combat rescue. Exact same thing. You don't need it till you really need it. So,
we got to tilt our hat to your brothers with the rescue of the F-15 Echo guys. The 920th out of Patrick had some players in there. I think everybody had a player in that game. The Air Force rescue folks, they just, what an incredible job everybody did there. Just great training, great equipment, great planning, people making the right call, a fair bit of luck, but hey, you know, tilt your hat where you tilt your hat. That was nice.
Well, the thing that the lesson learned in all of that is, one, the training that we've been doing for decades that developed in Vietnam works like a champ. If you have the right people, the right aircraft that are trained, and the A-10 was, you know, in Vietnam, we had the A-1 Skyrider, or whatever, was a fantastic Sandy, which is the aircraft that circles the helicopters, taking out any targets. The A-10 is even better because of its weapon systems. And I believe this is why the Air Force is keeping, I think, 19 of them around specifically for that mission, because they realize they don't have anything else that can do that mission.
Yeah. So, and can take a hit and keep flying. The one that was hit, you know, that they managed to make it back enough that they didn't become a problem themselves. But you look back at Vietnam, you know, the A-1 did not have the armor to take hits and keep going like the A-10 did. You and I are probably in the minority here that likes to argue this point, but it drives me batty that we have no plan to replace the A-10, and I know the A-29 can do part of it, but the A-10 is a unique capability that we're going to miss it when it's gone. But we've got another 3 years?
I think through 2030. Yeah. One more year, but they stopped training pilots for one. You know, there's really nothing else that can do that mission, so I don't know what you're going to do if you have to go long range and pick up a pilot like that and you need air support. I mean, you know, the F-35 is just not going to do it.
Well, it's the same answer I give, because we no longer have flying boats. We're going to have airmen who are going to die and are going to be taken prisoners because we have no way to rescue them. Or what was it? That movie they made about the shoot down of the EB-66 in Vietnam. Was it Bat 21?
Yes.
I think there were like 11 people died to rescue one.
Yeah.
And that's why we developed after Vietnam. It's like, we're not going to have this rescue to death ratio anymore. And we got great stuff, but I do know, especially in the 1990s, because a very good friend of mine was an MC-130 guy. And they fought, clawed, struggled, hid stuff in the reserves during the 1990s. We almost lost it.
But, yeah,
It's here for us now because we got good and we got lucky. There's nobody else that can do that. None of our allies have that capability.
Well, it's fighter mafia in the Air Force. Unfortunately, I experienced it firsthand. We never had enough flight hours. We never had enough aircraft, never had enough training, but you know, you still make it do. but it you're right. You're not as good as you could be. Anyway,
you need to be a 1.0, but you'll take a 0.8 if everybody's offering you a 0.2 instead.
Yeah, definitely. Commander, thank you so much. Really enjoy speaking with you, and have a good evening, and thank you for your time.
Oh, appreciate it, Todd, and I hope you all have a great May.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.